This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Pirates need to go 64-40 just to get to 87 wins, which you figure will be right around the mark for a wild card. And what are we even talking about? Why even figure that out? Bob, it's just so crushing and disappointing. I mean, I guess, you know, we're trying to have some laughs. It's better than crying. You know, it's just such a disaster. And we know it begins at the top, but we're putting the focus today on the GM. And just some of the amazing facts about how there's not one homegrown player in his lineup who's any good, about the people that he brings in and tries to sell on the public, about the fact that they, between him and the previous administration, have drafted a million shortstops, and yet they're choosing between altogether now, Izzy, Z, Peggy, and Tree. Triolo's now playing. Piguero is here, but hasn't been in the lineup at all. Izzy is hurt. And then Z, who was, he was here briefly. Who was that again, Limits?
Chang.
Yes, Sungjae Chang.
Yeah.
The Chang. Shortstop.
Right. He was here for a minute. May have some promise. We don't know. But Charrington on his show yesterday delivered all the nicknames, Izzy, Z, Peggy, and Tree. And then another problem spot of many is left field. I guess this is left field, where we have Tommy Pham that pretty much everybody knew wasn't going to be an impact player because look at his recent track record. And they can't stop talking about his leadership and everything else. Let's hear him, Charrington, talking about Pham and Canario like somebody wants them to give Canario a chance. I don't think anybody does. Here's him yesterday.
First, LeBron Canario.
We acquired Canario, even though it's a little bit of a tougher roster fit in the short term. We acquired him because we believe in the offensive traits. We believe in that he's capable of producing offensively. He's shown some flashes of that. At the same time, we signed Tommy Pham for a reason, because we believe in him. We believe in the quality at bats he'll give over the course of the season, the track record, the toughness, what he brings to our clubhouse and on the field.
Bob, that's where I think that somebody has to get to Charrington and say, Ben, come on, people are smarter than this. That nobody's interested in toughness.
Yeah, it's not beyond the realm of possibility that as a GM you come out and you criticize a guy. You know, you don't have to do it in a malicious way, but you say, we expected more out of Tommy Pham. Quite frankly, we signed him with the thought that he would deliver like he did in 10 of his other teams in the last 12 years, you know? Give us some punch in left field, and so far that hasn't happened. We haven't lost faith in him, I suppose, but at some point he has to put up the numbers that we paid for.
So one more time, Bob, I think with Izzy, Z, Peggy, and Tree, it lends itself to certainly children's rhymes. It does, and I think I have a good one here, Limits. You ready for this?
Z, Peggy, Tree.
I think I have a good one here. Izzy, Z, Peggy, and Tree. It's not a great scenario. But believe it or not,
he's bringing
it's in Canario. It's somewhat better than Tommy Tough in Canario. You like that, Limits? Do you have one?
I still can't get over the is easy Peggy and Tree, Lebanon, Church Road, Pittsburgh. That's, minutes from the mall.
Bob, you got anything working
over
there?
I got something,
there?
But I don't know if this is going to work.
Let's
hear it. Is easy Peggy and Tree looking for a chance in the MLB, but when they arrived, they could not survive. Now, is easy Peggy and Tree are part of infamy.
Part of infamy.
I don't know about the ending, but I do like it. How about this, Bob, if I may riff on yours for a minute? Is easy Peggy and Tree looking for a chance in MLB, but they arrived and they couldn't survive, and Mulsey made 9 straight threes.
Yes? Always find a way to get him in there.
Always
going
to stick that in there.
No. And then Bob outdid me, didn't he? Like you always do, Bob, in a way. Here's you
on
Mulsey.
I'm not a singer, generally.
I've done everything for Mulsey. He's done nothing for me.
You know what I admire about you, Bob, is when you're asked to do these ridiculous things, you don't put in 100%, you put in 1,000. It's incredible.
Well, I'm compensating for my lack of awareness of what I'm doing, so I have to work harder at it.
I mean, at the spur of the moment, you deliver. Let's get to the phones, Limits. I mean, to answer my own question, I think that Bob Nutting is going to keep these guys around. Because if you haven't made the move now, the season's over. If you haven't made the move now, Bob, when are you going to do it? After, does he have a number in mind at the 50-game mark? Suddenly they're gone?
I don't know.
You going to let Charrington run your draft again? He's got to be gone by then. Oh, no, he won't be because that's in June. Are you going to let Ben Charrington run another draft if you're Bob Nutting?
That's a good question, and that's why this decision should be made sooner rather than later. You can't wait. There won't be a turnaround. You're not going to go 66 and 36 or whatever you said they have to do. They're not going to do that. So you know where you are. And you're going to have a high pick this year, going to have a high pick again next year if you're going to do it. But how quickly can they find a new GM? That's the thing. And I don't know, based on what they expect from their current GM and the one previously, how much leeway will you give them? What are you looking for? I would go after the
baseball
most established
players.
Person I could find and overpay to get him. That's what I would do. It's that important of a position. That is the backbone of what you do, player acquisition and recruitment. If you don't get it, you're not going to win, period.
I mean, I don't see how anybody out there who watches baseball, especially people who make a living analyzing the game, could give Ben Charrington anything other than an F for his tenure here. Do you?
I would agree with that. I mean, what, 2 100 loss seasons, absolute disappointment this year, the 20-8 collapse. It's been, the fact that you're in year 5, year 6, the light should be at the end of the tunnel. You should be at the end of the tunnel. They feel like they're trapped in the middle of it.
Let's go to the lines.
Full lines. Let's start with Dave in Delmont wants to talk about the Pirates.
Hello, Dave.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I got three quick things. One, I have no idea what you guys are talking about getting Peggy Sue into the lineup. They're hitting like crazy. I don't think there's a spot for him.
Yeah, tough roster to break, as
I know.
Ben said.
Number two, whoever interviews Charrington and he says these dumb things, how do they not laugh in his face? What planet is he coming from? How did he even get a job? And thirdly, can somebody tell Shelton to stop signing free agents that want to grip the bat too tight? Because they do that every year because Shelton tells us that every time the guy starts out slow, that he's gripping the bat too tight. They did it with Rudy last year, Pham this year. They're trying too hard. Start picking guys that just want to try enough.
Bob, so are they grabbing the bats too tightly?
I don't know what they're grabbing, but they're reaching, grabbing for whatever they can find to be relevant, and they're not getting it done.
They're grasping for straws, Bob.
They are.
I will say this, in watching Henry Davis every at bat, it feels like he's treating it like game seven of the World Series. You talk about gripping the bat too tightly. I'm afraid the thing's going to turn to dust in his hands.
Yeah.
I've never seen somebody hit balls that foul along third base. Like, he pulls them practically into the dugout.
You've never seen me in a wiffle ball game then.
I mean, it's a tough watch. It's a tough watch. And I wonder if Henry Davis would benefit from the way Joey Bart did, right? From being a high pick and just going somewhere else and giving it a shot, because it's, you can feel it. I don't know if he's ever going to hit at the major league level, but here it just feels like the pressure of being that number one overall pick, you can literally feel it in the way he holds the bat.
And I also think that if you're going to try to figure him out, then you have to play him a lot more than they are. They believe that they're still trying to win these games and fine, but the reality is they're not going to be in a position where they're going to compete. So I would take every opportunity I can to just play him. I have to see. I have to give him the opportunity in an extended period of time to show me something. I don't know if, you know, he could be a Bart-type person, which is to say they could put him out there, somebody can claim him, and then all of a sudden turn things around because it's a new start,
yeah.
Fresher approach, whatever the case may be. But, you know, at some point they have to come up and just give him a legitimate everyday shot, and they won't do that.
Next.
All right, let's go to Tony. He is in Butler.
Hi, Tony.
How you doing, guys? First thing, just a statement real quick. Early in the season, I was watching a game, and I realized the season was over when two players in the lineup were batting over 200, and our designated hitter was not one of them. And that leads me to my question. I don't believe this has been talked about, and if it has, I missed it. How much responsibility does the scouting system have to play with this? And is it a question of, do we have good enough scouts? Because obviously we're not paying the players well enough, so maybe we're not paying our scouts well enough either. I'm going to hang up and go ahead and let you guys respond.
I don't think we can answer that question because we don't know what they're paying them, but I will say this. They have a big scouting staff, and they're not doing enough. You know, the bottom line is you're judged on the results. As a manager, you're judged on the results here, wins and losses. As a scout, you're judged by people you bring to the organization who turn out to be good players or not. And, you know, they put a lot of emphasis on metrics and all this analytics. I think they've overdone it with that. They need people who just know baseball. They need people who have gut decisions they can make without looking at every stupid metric that they have before they make a decision. But no, I don't. Do you know how much these guys make, Joe, or what they? I don't know what they make. I don't know how they're spending in their scouts.
I just know they don't have good players, so they're not doing their jobs. Bob, not surprisingly, my math was very wrong. Real time, I think I've been saying 64-40.
It's worse than that, isn't it?
It's really bad. My math. No, what do they need to do to get to 87 or 89?
So they only
wins?
Have 12. So they need 78 wins. They need to go.
You can't do math real time either, can you?
None
of us can,
Bob. Math.
Why do I have such difficulties?
76-51 is what it is.
76
and 51. 25 games over 500.
Yeah, that shouldn't be a
problem. When was the last time the Pirates went 25 games over 500?
The manager, since he signed that extension after a fraudulent 14-7 start, you remember that, is something like 35 games under 500.
So that's not going to be happening.
No.
I don't think so. Next.
Here is Mark. He is in Robinson.
Mark Robinson. I'm a little skeptical of this, Bob. He's a Steeler linebacker, but go ahead, Mark.
I can tell you that I'm not him, but I wish I was if I make more money. My thing with the Pirates is, and I heard you before, Joe, mention about Matt Arnold. They had interviewed him. And
yeah.
I don't think he would have succeeded here. I'm going to be completely honest with you. I think that, and we've spoken about this many times, about the ownerships of similar markets, Cleveland and Milwaukee, you know the teams. Their owners set the tone. The mindset is they don't wish to win, they expect to. Bob Nutting's tone is, I make a profit over winning. If you win, it's a happy accident. And if that's the way he runs it at the top, that's how it filters downhill.
No
the GM's
doubt.
GM's going to think that way. It all starts with him. It
no doubt.
Matter who the GM is.
No, and we establish that. We establish that right at the start. But, and he's the one who hired Charrington, by the way. But today's focus is Ben Cherington. So within the constraints, you know, operating as a GM in handcuffs, what has he done? And the answer is nothing. And there's at least one franchise or two or three who have similar constraints who are winning. Tampa Bay is the classic example. The A's, before they fell apart, won for years and years with one of the very lowest payrolls in baseball, sometimes lower than the Pirates. So yes, nutting is the biggest problem by far. But today we're looking at Ben Cherington, and it's been a disaster. Would you agree with that? By the way, is he still there? He's not there?
He hung up.
By the way, Neil Huntington, under the exact same constraints, got this team to the playoffs 3 years in a row, starting in year six. We're in year six, Bob. So I don't want to hear, while what that guy said is 100% true, it's not the whole story, and it doesn't let Cherington should not get off the hook.
No,
Huntington
not
did
all.
It. Huntington no. did it. This guy didn't.
No, you have an opportunity, and again, regardless of your financial situation in Major League Baseball, if you draft the right kids, develop the right kids, 6 years should be enough time to get a few people up here anyway. And they really have nobody from an offensive point of view who've come through Ben Cherington's drafting and development program who've been on this roster. So, I don't know. You know, Nick Gonzalez showed some promise. Other than that, who's doing it down there? If you look at their roster, you're not going to find many guys who are knocking on the door to be here.
He was the seventh pick. So...
Right, you would expect him to be here and flourish by now.
Yeah.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50, code LISTEN50.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through 2 cartons in 1 day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
I mean, I'm glad that he showed some promise. I kind of like Nick Gonzalez, but he was the 7th overall pick.
Right.
You know?
But even that, you have how many rounds of a baseball draft? And you see stories from all over the place where guys somebody just take an opportunity, run with it, get through the system, and open up eyes.
Yeah.
And they haven't had any of those at all over 6 years. How many players are we
talking
about?
Position players, yeah. Right? Limits, give me somebody they could have signed in the offseason for a reasonable price. Kyle Tucker, maybe.
Tucker was very affordable.
They could have done Alonzo at first base if they really wanted to.
He didn't sign for that big of a deal, did he?
No.
Would he want to come here, though? I guess if you gave him the right money, probably.
And if you have to overpay because you've created this situation, then overpay for it. But just, you know, signings like that would have made a difference in terms of how this fan base at least would have had some emotion. They're being stripped of that now, and it's heading toward an apathetic approach. So I just think either of those guys would have been fine. And at least throw your hat in the derby, go after them and see what they do. I think they're reluctant to even do that.
What about Tyler O'Neill even in the outfield to a 3-year deal, $50 million, went from Boston over to Baltimore?
There you go.
And I know that the Orioles have struggled a little bit. Alonzo was just a 2-year deal, $54 million.
Yeah,
that's doable.
So that's doable. And what was
I mean,
Tucker.
Tyler O'Neill
Tucker
stinks
is,
so far this year, but yep. at 215 with two homers compared to Canario, he's Mickey Mantle.
Kyle Tucker has nearly 30 runs batted in already.
Yeah, Tucker was traded over from Houston. He's going to be a free agent at the end of the year. He's making, I think,
okay, they could have done that too,
17,
though.
20 million, right 17, around that
20
range.
Million. Bring him in for 1 year if you have an outfield need.
Even if you want Max Kepler, who went to Philadelphia for Minnesota, has some success. 1 year, $10 million contract.
What's he doing?
Well, let me find out.
It doesn't matter.
But there were also possible trades they could have made, too.
He's hitting
again,
262.
I advocate
with five homers.
Being active in the trade market in that you have prospects that people nationally are talking about.
Yes.
If you can't develop and you can't bring in guys on because you have a restrictive budget, then trade one of them. Because largely you're going to sit here and wait another 5 years before some of these guys make an immediate impact. You know, so therefore, trade them now. Get somebody who can impact your team, especially offensively.
Exactly. I mean, Kepler would look good here. 5 home runs, 806 OPS, anything and anybody. I've said this many times, Bob, and I'll say it again. If you would have told me in whenever they signed Frazier and Pham that those were just social media like pranks, I would have believed it. Like, that's your off season? Adam Frazier and Tommy Pham? What?
You know, I look at the Braves a lot, and I often refer to them here just because I like the way they do business. But they bring guys in who they hit on, and then they sign them before they become big stars to big contracts. They also, you know, this is one thing that could – the Pirates in two occasions. Do you remember when Christian Yelich was available from the Miami Marlins and the Milwaukee Brewers went in and you know, gave up some things, but they brought a guy who was a good player to their team? Then I look at what the Braves did with Oakland. Oakland was in a position where they were just getting rid of everybody. Matt Olson was a really good player at first base, and they knew they were going to lose Freddie Freeman, so they immediately made a deal to get him and then signed him, I think, to 8 years, $168 million, which at the time seemed like a lot. But looking back now, 8 years, or I think it's 8 years, $168 for him. Matt Olson's one of the best in the game, and he never takes a day off. On that same team was Sean Murphy, the catcher now the Braves have. They pried him away from Oakland as well. That's what I'm talking about. If you're the Pirates and you have assets and the Braves traded some people to get those guys, then what you do is you trade your blue chip prospects to get somebody who can help you in different positions.
You finagle a way to put a winning team on the field and get some hitters. And the reason I disagree with that last caller who wanted to completely let Charrington off the hook and say that Matt Arnold, who's running the Brewers, was the guy, wouldn't have made a difference here if you hired him. Let's take a look at Jackson Choria. He was an international free agent signed in 2021 with a $1.9 million signing bonus. They saw immediately that this kid is great and signed him to a long-term contract worth $82 million, which is barely more than this team is paying Key Brian Hayes. And now I feel like yelling, Bob, but I won't.
Here's the biggest move that they didn't make that they should have. And it's your over 500 Cincinnati Reds, Austin Hayes, $5 million. They're paying Tommy Pham just over $4 million. Hayes is hitting .365 with 5 homers and 13 RBIs.
Again, a 1-year deal. Again, if you're going to make those, get the best ones out there. You have to do that.
Well, that's all they make. They haven't made a multi-year free agent deal since Moby Dick was a minnow.
And how many times at first base did we go through the same scenario? not the Canario, but the same scenario there, which is an older first baseman signs to a one-year deal over and over. It's retreads
well,
after retreads after retreads.
They think Horwitz is their guy.
Okay. Well, so far, he hasn't been able to play.
Unfortunately, they knew he had a chronic wrist problem when they signed him. If I hear one more person, whether it's Charrington or somebody else, insinuate that Key Brian Hayes' under-the-surface numbers indicate that he's actually hitting well, I'm going to start punching myself in the face like Jim Carrey in Liar, Liar. Do you remember that scene, Limits?
Yeah, kind of painful.
When he beat himself up in the bathroom. Do you remember that?
Yes.
Did you like that movie, and did you cry at the end?
No.
Bob, you remember Liar, Liar?
I didn't watch it.
It was Jim Carrey as a sort of deadbeat dad who was constantly working. He was a workaholic, and he wasn't a very good dad, but he couldn't help but tell the truth. And in the end, he didn't like himself, so he beat himself up in the bathroom. Limits.
Kind of violent, Bob.
Why are you crying at the end of that?
Well, because at the end,
himself around.
Yes, and, spell was reversed, and he became a good dad. And the last scene is him at his kid's birthday party.
Okay.
And that's what made, I think, Limits cry. He just doesn't want to admit it.
No, I would have cried. I cried at everything. They open up a new, Costco, and I cry.
I cried when Bill Murray got out of Groundhog Day. He finally was able to live the world again.
You cry at a Costco opening, Bob?
I mean, these things are, they're emotional to me.
Yeah, me too. So please, I beg of you, Ben Charrington, or anybody else out there affiliated with this team who wants to tell me that it's just a matter of time and that Key Brian Hayes is having a run of bad luck. He's hitting .254. He has 4 extra base hits in 122 at-bats. He's your third baseman. He has 1 home run and 13 RBIs and a .622 OPS. So stop. Please just stop. He has 5 home runs in his last 480 at-bats. Okay, last year you want to use the back injury. What is it this year? We're 122 at-bats in, Bob. He has 4 extra base hits. That's a $70 million disaster.
Yep, and at the time that looked like a good deal for them. Now it's not looking. It reminds me of the Tabata trade or signing when they had him.
He is. He's Tabata at the
thing.
Plate.
And they gave him a lot of money, believing that what we saw from him briefly was going to be what we saw from him long term, and it just hasn't happened.
To have a third, oh my God! Look at your corner infield this year. Just look at it, Bob. You can't take your eyes off it. It's so horrendous. The offense they get from the corners. And then Gorski never plays.
Gorski, well, he made a mistake yesterday, but he did play. He's got
they
a right-hand bat.
But
he had one good game, and then they didn't play him for a while. It's the same thing I've been talking about. At some point, you got to run with players who are younger and just say, I got to see what you can do. I'm going to give you a chance. It's going to be an extended chance. Go. It's your turn.
412-928-9370. We'll give you one last chance here. The lines are lit up like Malzi at a craft beer house, Bob. Like Pony at a Syracuse football game. Like Crowley at the Suncrest Shopping Center in Morgantown. They're absolutely lit.
Does it take that little to get Adam Crowley going?
As soon as he crosses the state line, he's the happiest man on earth.
Wild West Virginia.
Wild and wonderful. I was there yesterday playing Oglesby, Bob. And I must
golf course.
Wonderful golf course. Wide open. Very short par fours, but very tricky. I met a man named Chris. Nice man.
You played with Chris?
Yeah. I went there by myself, and I wound up with him. You make friends on the golf course.
You make a lot of friends on the golf course. No question.
It's one of the things that's basically my social life at this stage in my existence. That's my social life is people I meet on the golf course. It's very sad, actually.
That. Like Mark Whipple.
Yes. All right. Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia, Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Top of the hour, we're going to dive into some football, including the arrest of a former Steeler. We'll talk about that. Fan text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, personal injury law firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you in the hotline, presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Bob, I'm hangry. Do you want to order a pizza?
No, thanks.
Limits?
I'm in my fast mode right now.
Please.
How about some chicken nuggets or some such thing? What are the other things that involve chicken?
Well, we'll see if it actually gets here this time, unlike the last time we tried.
Oh, was that the order for Jose?
Yeah, Jose Starkey.
Did you hear about that, Bob?
I think I did.
Yeah, we ordered chicken fingers and fries, and the guy came here was asking all around for Jose, which is my name in Spanish, but nobody connected that, right? So they said, there's no Jose here. So I went running down the stairs, and the guy was gone. There was a guy in a smoke break. I said, did you see a guy with food? He said, yes. He was asking if there's a Jose in the building.
Jose Starkey. I want to start calling you that.
Let's order some food limits, because this is going to go
off
the rails.
Put it in Austin's name. What is the translation for your name? I don't know what it would be.
I don't know.
I have no idea.
Let's make a phone call here. Just call him Limits. Yes. Okay. Let's do that, Bob. The Good Feet stores. I guess Bob doesn't want to do that, which seems problematic. Bob, are you still fasting?
I just wait until I eat. I guess that's considered fat. I don't eat a lot until later in the day.
Do you become cranky at any point?
No, I'm fine with it.
Is that healthy?
I don't think it's healthy.
I don't either. I have that problem, too.
I worry about Bob.
No, why would you worry about me? I go to more doctors than anyone. I'm on top of things.
I think a good, healthy breakfast wonders.
If there's one available, like if there was something out there, you know, freshly cooked, I would eat it. But at this time, I'm just not doing that.
You a pancake or French toast guy?
Pancake.
Yeah. Limits, how about you?
If the French toast is made really well, especially if I know where I'm going and I'm getting French toast, then I will get the French toast.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their 6-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The 4-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I'm Emma Grede, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Grede, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Grede, an Odyssey podcast, available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Bob, you're a wonderful man. I don't know anyone ever who would dispute that fact. We just ordered a pizza, and I'd like to invite you to have a piece I'm treating.
No, I appreciate that, but no. Did you order in the name of Jose, or did you go
no,
by?
No, and I ordered Thin and Crispy, which I'm very excited about.
Thin and Crispy's good.
I once went to Chicago, Bob, and got the classic deep dish, but I went there very hungry. And overate too fast, and it felt like I had a bowling ball in my stomach, you know?
You know what? That's another thing that I've been trying to change, how fast you eat, because we're all on different deadlines, fast-paced life, whatever, and that seems to translate into your regular life when you don't have to eat this fast or run this fast or do everything so fast.
When I've been healthy, which decidedly isn't now, and I've eaten right, it's not what I eat, it's how I eat it. And you're exactly right. If I take my time and make the meal almost a spiritual exercise, Bob, which is what it is. It's eating. It's feeding us to live. Things go better. It's not what I'm eating. It's how I'm eating it. Right. But I'm having breakfast on the way out the door, shoving donuts in my face.
That's what I mean. And that stuff's not good to begin with. If you're going to do it fast-paced, it's really not good. So I'm trying to change that routine a little bit.
I don't think this is going to get better with the Pirates. You and I spoke, I don't know, 2 weeks ago maybe a week and a half, where we looked at the next 20, 30 games, something like that, and we said, oh my God, they're playing the Dodgers, the Cubs,
Padres
at the Cardinals, Which
they just swept the Mets in a doubleheader yesterday.
Right. Even when the Cardinals are struggling going into St. Louis and you're starting with Carmen Majinski, who nobody seems to know why they made a starter, that's problematic. Atlanta, resurgent, although they've lost a few in a row, I think. At the Mets, at Philly, Cincinnati, four against Milwaukee, and then you go to the West Coast, at Arizona, at San Diego. You come home and play Houston and Philly. Bob, this is a disaster.
Yeah, and that's why it won't, you know, the record they need to put up is not going to be available. And this is why, you know, things aren't going to change. You may go through some ups and downs in terms of, okay, they won four in a row one day, or, you know, they lose 10 in a row. You're going to have that. But the bottom line is, where are they going? What is their vision moving forward? You obviously know that at the end of this season, let's say nothing happens with a move.
Yeah.
But at the end of the season, there will be moves. So the question is, if you're going to make it at the end of the season, you may as well get a head start here, especially with the draft. That was a good point you brought out. With the draft coming up, do you want this current regime to
absolutely
draft
not
this next, you know, wave of people coming
in here?
He
doesn't deserve that privilege. No, I don't want him to. We're 6 years in, and Alexander Canario is a guy that he's talking about that he acquired because there's hitting potential there. By the way, the Pirates have the second lowest attendance in the National League right now, ahead of only Miami, and they don't even count. So they really have the lowest attendance in the National League. You and I have talked that we've never seen the fan base angrier. I never have. And I think the next thing that's going to happen here, Bob, is one of these big promotional nights, maybe a fireworks night, is you're going to have 38,000 people in the building chanting, sell the team. It's going to make national news. It's going to get crazy. And we all know that that's where, unless they start winning, and I just mentioned the schedule, I think that's the next like notable Pirate story you're going to see, is where ESPN's going to come on SportsCenter, and one of its top stories will be that night, is that 38,000 Pirate fans just take a listen. Do you know what I mean?
Well, I think we've already seen it. It's made its way into PGA golf events where people are saying, you know, whether it's fire Charrington or sell the team. I've heard it at various golf events where people out of the blue, not even in Pittsburgh.
What we haven't heard is a packed stadium chanting it at the top of their lungs. And I think that's next limits. You agree with that?
I mean, it kind of happened a little bit at opening day at the home opener.
A little bit, yeah.
I can imagine that, yeah. That's probably going to happen because this is the most fed up I've ever seen the fan base in my entire life. And I know that you guys can probably attest to it, you know, better than I can, that this is just something that the fans have never shown this much frustration, I don't think.
So you have one of the losingest managers in the history of baseball. You have one of the worst GM reigns, I feel comfortable saying, in the history of baseball. He hired the manager, by the way, too. In your opinion, when does Bob Nutting pull the plug on this regime? What is he waiting for?
I don't know, and I would love to know, because I feel like so many people would have already pulled the plug on this thing and said, no, it's not enough. And I come back to Nutting saying that he thinks he's done enough. He has given these guys enough.
Well,
to get the job done.
That was 35 games ago before they ever played a game, really.
Right.
You know, so.
And this was the year to win, in the words of the manager.
Right.
I think in the words of the GM, although I never really understand what he's saying. Him and Kyle Dubas are one and the same. Are we urgent? Are we patient? Are we waiting? Is it now? Are we rushed? Are we standing in line? What the hell are we doing? Let's hear Charrington again with the urgency patience thing. Remember that one, Limits?
Yeah, he claims that there's a little bit of a rush, but not that urgent.
Kyle, is it Kyle Charrington or Ben Dubas? What are we doing here?
Urgent,
let's hear it.
But not in a rush.
Well, I've used this line before. I believe it. I stole it from somebody. But I think what you're trying to do is you need to be urgent every day and not in a rush. We shouldn't be patient. We should not be patient about, you know, getting better today. Whatever that is. Certainly
it's winning games.
It
stop, 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 stop.
It's all about winning games.
Why is it always whatever that is? What? Play that again. This is the thing from last week, Bob, where he's like, oh, well, nobody wants to hear this, but it's all about what you actually do at the plate, but we see deeper, the below the surface stats. What does he mean? It means winning, Ben. At what point does it only matter winning, wins, the, well, under the W.
Below the surface is a phrase that when I heard that for the first time, it made me think that they're really trying to deflect your attention away from the bottom line, which is to win games.
Right.
This, I don't care what year you're in, that should be the number one thing you're judged upon, winning games. That's your charge. That's what they hired you to do. And they give, in this organization, they'll give you time to do it, but you're in 6 years. And that's too many time. That's too much time.
And in here, within this sort of attorney's address here, is a line that really stands out where Ben Cherington says, you know, it starts with me, but it doesn't end with me. Wow. His only line should be, I'm looking at this team on the field and anybody who thinks I've done a terrible job here is right. You know, my job, my reputation is with these players that I acquired that are on the field. And unless they start performing, then everybody is well within their rights to say, I have done a terrible job. It starts and ends with me. One, bringing in players. Let's listen to this whole thing from the ridiculous beginning to him deflecting blame.
Well, I've used this line before. I believe it. I stole it from somebody. But I think what you're trying to do is you need to be urgent every day and not in a rush. We shouldn't be patient. We should not be patient about, you know, getting better today. Whatever that is, certainly starts with me. It doesn't end with me. That's got to extend to everybody on our team, players.
Whatever that is not the right way to say what you're saying.
How about the second part of that?
Yeah, it starts with me, but it doesn't end with me.
But it doesn't end with me. And if I'm nutting, I'm looking at that, even though I know it's my fault if I'm nutting. I hired him, and I'm the one who's giving him a paltry payroll. But what he's done with it is historically inept. What do you make of that, O Limitless Wonder?
I feel like Ben Cherington is running this thing like it's a college math class. With all these analytics, we need to depend on the data.
There's too much of that. Too much below the surface stuff.
They fall back.
We need to see results.
Tell me what the below the surface stuff. Tell me the analytics on Pham and Frazier. You got any?
I mean,
no, none good.
They do that.
Tell me the analytics on Canario and Valdez. I mean, this is incredible.
So I trust Baseball Savant with a lot of the numbers that they put out there. They did a really good job of running it down.
Yeah.
Tommy Pham, batting run value, where 99 out of 100 is the best, 1 is the worst. Tommy Pham's batter run value is -8, the 4th percentile in all of baseball.
Okay, now, tell me what it was last year. Because if he's going by analytics and deep analytics and things nobody can understand, tell me what it was last year.
It can't be just because of leadership. Because that doesn't matter.
If you're trying to sell leadership in baseball, you're barking up the wrong tree, Bob. You're barking up the wrong tree.
Listen, whatever it can't be good. Whatever.
Is that right? You're barking up the wrong tree? Is that the saying?
I think so.
Yeah.
So
we've mixed metaphors a lot here, so it's okay.
The X batting average, which is something that's like just determined by like the ballpark and everything.
Yeah.
Last year was at 263, slugging 407, on base at 297. This year, his X batting average is 204, bottom 5% in baseball.
Was it good last year without all the numbers?
It was.
What was it? Was he good last year?
It wasn't good. He was okay.
Okay.
At best.
And a year older at 37.
Yes.
And that was your answer in left field, Bob.
Yeah, I mean, there are other options to go. And again, if you had people in your system who could move into those spots, make it a lot easier. But you don't, because you haven't brought any into your organization, draft, develop, none of them. I'd like to say there's a glut of outfielders, just as there's a glut of shortstops where you could throw out there, and yet there are none.